Morning. Today's daf Menachos Sadi Hey. We are on the very top of Sadi Hey Medav. We're starting with the word Meisvei. Now, Meisvei obviously introduces a question from a Braisa. So to appreciate the question, let's just quickly recount what we did yesterday. And Sadi Dal Med Beis actually began in the very bottom of Sadi Dal Med Aleph. The Gemara introduces to a Machlokas, what is the shape of the Lechem Aponim? Yesterday we started the 11th parak of the Masechta, and we were introduced to some of the very basic very basic procedures in terms of how to prepare the Shea Lechem and the Lechem Aponim. So the Lechem Aponim is a weekly bread. We're going to be discussing more of it over the course of this parak. And our Mishnah taught us that it is kneaded and it is baked. And a distinction to be made in terms of how the Shea Lechem is kneaded and baked one by one versus the Lechem Aponim kneaded by one but baked two by two. And it was prepared in a mold. And okay, good. And what's the shape of the lechem upon him? So yesterday we learned the machlokas amarayim exactly what the shape looked like. So was it square in nature? Was it rectangular in nature? Or no? Was it shaped like a V? And the Gemara's analogy, in other words, not the V, but actually did it look like a ship, where basically you had a wide top and it tapered down into a point on the bottom. Like the letter V. And so this was a machlokas, and the Gemara presented numerous supports and proofs to both sides of this machlokas. Meisvei, now of the two positions that we saw yesterday, now the Gemara is going to challenge, and now we're going to turn to the very top of Sadi Hem and Aleph. Kimin Kaveres Hayela Betanur. So it was Kimin Kaveres, so it basically looked like a basket. Right? A basket, by the way, generally speaking, is circular in nature, but over here, the purpose of this point is that there were just simply a lot of holes in the mold in order to allow the heat to come in. The Dama came in Tavla Muravas, and it looked like it looks square in nature. So Ema Upia Dama came in Tavla Muravas. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't mean that the whole thing was square in nature. It could just simply mean that the very top was square in nature. But as far as the bottom is concerned, the bottom was angular. And maybe this brisa is not necessarily a challenge against the position that it was shaped like a boat. Ten Kamanda Amrar Kimin Svina Rokadas. And the Gemara is now going to bring in one more brisa on this position that it was shaped like a boat. Actually, this brisa is actually going to be really clear that it's shaped like a boat. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the brisa, Arba Snifim, Shalzav Hayusham. There were four sniff, and we already talked about it yesterday. These were the side supports that flanked the table. Mufutsal Mirashem Kimin Darkanim, and over here a description of how the protrusions looked. Ayusha Somchem Bamasalachem, and they supported the bread. Shudam Kimin Svina Rokedis. And here the Bryce ends off very clearly by saying because the bread looked like boats. In other words, they did not have a flat base, but rather the base of each one of the breads was pointy. It came down to a point. So without the side supports, the bread's obviously going to topple over. This price clearly states that the bread was shaped like a boat and that it had a pointy bottom. And without the side supports, it would fall to the side. Good. So that's the conclusion. That's the end of the Gemara's discussion regarding the lechem aponim and what shape did it look like. We are on Tzadi Hamad Aleph. We are about six lines from the top of the Amud, and we're going to be discussing the following for a good part of today. In the Torah describes our movements in the desert. In the desert, we spent 40 years wandering. I'm sure you've heard. the rumors are true, and the Torah gives a description of our movement while we were moving in the Midbar. Now, in it, so we have basically times that we were encamped and times where we broke camp and we were in traveling. Now, in traveling, there was a formation that we went through, and basically the best way to describe it is that of the 12 tribes, so basically each three tribes were put together as a unit, or let's not call it a unit, let's call it a degel, a flag. And the way it worked is that you would have two degalim start the travel, and the Torah in the second parak of Bamidbar goes through the details. You can go through the psukim. I'm not going to go through them right now. So you would have two of the degalim travel. Then you would have the Ohel Moed, which was broken down and traveling. Then you would have the third and fourth degal, and that would be our formation. That's how we would move through the desert. Okay, so, and then when we stopped, so we set up camp. And by setting up camp, we also set up the Mishkan. Okay, what do we all know? So we all know, I'm saying all this by way of introduction. So we all know that when the Lechem Hapanim is sitting there on the Shulchan, so now it's in its proper place. The Shulchan is the Kli Shari, so to say, in which the Lechem Hapanim is situated in. While the Lechem Hapanim is on the Shulchan, it is not going to become pasul. It won't become pasul through Lina. It won't become pasul through Yotze. Now, the reason why it won't become pasul through Yotze is very simple. Because it's located in the right place. The Shulchan is in the Mishkan, which is in the temple courtyard. That's wonderful. That's really good. What happens when, let's say, for example, we were to break camp, and now the Shulchan the Shulchan itself wasn't disassembled, but the entire Mishkan was disassembled, and now the Shulchan is no longer in the Heichal, because the Heichal right now is broken down. So now, is there going to be a psul of Yotze? Meaning, is the Shulchan that's on the table now considered outside of the Mishkan? Physically, the answer, of course, is it is outside the Mishkan, but that's simply because we are now traveling. And so our discussion now for the next little bit, for about half of today's daf, is going to be predicated on this very issue as to in terms of whether or not the Lechem Hapanim while traveling is going to be subject to the psul of Yotze. Now, it is a little bit unusual that the Gemara is going to be spending an amud of its real estate dedicated to a topic which, you know, was historical and no longer applicable. So yes, it's, you know, in of itself, that's one of the larger questions. And you know me and the larger questions. They're harder to answer. So fine. So, but that's the...
If it's dismantled, it's no longer considered Mishkan.
Okay, so that is a healthy argument. The Gemara is going to argue otherwise as well. Okay, good. All right, let's go. So, Ibai Lahu. So with that stated, so we start now with the discussion. Lechem Hapanim Nifsal B'Masal, so Eino Nifsal B'Masal. So is the Lechem Hapanim going to be disqualified while we're traveling or not going to be disqualified while we're traveling? And the way the Gemara presents it, it's a machlokas. Now we're going to go through a number of versions of this machlokas, and where we're going to land is going to be a very good spot, because eventually, if I can just spoil some of the upcoming Gemara, what we're going to learn together is that it may not very well be a machlokas. They're just simply citing, they're giving two sides of the same coin. Okay? Which is, generally speaking, a wonderful way to look at machlokas. But that's at the end of the sugya. Right now we're at the beginning of the sugya. And let's assume right now it's a machlokas. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yishuv, Ben Levi, Chanam Nifsal, V'Chanam Nifsal. So the two positions is, it's disqualified, it's not disqualified. And the Gemara says we have psukim supporting both of these positions. Now, the one who says it's disqualified, the Torah says, Kasher Yachanu Ken Yisau. Just like we encamped, so too we traveled. And the Gemara over here understands the analogy to work in the following manner. Ma bechani asan nifsal biyotze, af benisi aso nifsal biyotze. Well, look, if while encamped, there would be a psul yotze, so too while traveling, there would be a psul yotze. And now, the one who says it does not become disqualified, consider the following. When the Torah talks about the breaking down of the Mishkan, so the Torah, really interesting, the Torah says, and what are you going to do with the table? You're going to cover the table while we're traveling. But the Torah doesn't just simply describe the covering of the table. The Torah says, and you're going to cover the table with the lechem on top of the table. The Torah says, v'lechem atamid alav yiyah. This is Perek Dalid, Pasuk Zion. The end of the pasuk, v'lechem atamid alav yiyah, right? You're going to the Torah describes. I'll go to the beginning of the pasuk. V'al shulchan apanim. It's not in the Gemara. I have the chumash in front of me. V'al shulchan apanim yifrasu beged tcheles. So on the shulchan apanim, they're going to put a blue cloth. V'nasnu alav eskaros v'esakapos v'esamnikios v'esksos hanasech, and you put all the utensils there as well. And lechem atamid alav yiyah, and the bread stays on the table. So it really is interesting. While they're traveling, bread remains on the table. So it's a pretty good indication that it does not become disqualified. Why would the Torah tell us to keep the bread on the table if, in fact, the bread is disqualified? So the argument the Gemara now is making is it does not become disqualified. Good. And now the Gemara is going to do what it classically does. How is each position going to deal with the other pasuk? So what do we do, first of all, with the pasuk of the analogy? So, le'idach yisa. The analogy, the Gemara says, if you're on the other side of this issue, not only is the analogy not a question, the analogy is a proof. And the analogy now reads like this. Ma bechani aso ki lo yatzam im kamala mif. So look, when they are encamped and the bread is on the table, we know that it does not become disqualified as long as the bread's on the table. And the same thing is true while traveling. So too when traveling, as long as it's not yotzei mimkomo, it does not become disqualified. Good. So the analogy is a support now to the position that as long as the bread's on the table, it does not become disqualified even while traveling. Now what do you do with this pasuk? This pasuk indicates that the lechem HaTamid is on the Shulchan, and the indication is, and the implication is, as long as it's on the table, even while travel, it is not disqualified. Ela ki asa Rav Dimi Amar. And the Gemara basically says, I have no response for that pasuk. That pasuk seems to be a discussion ender. And so now what the Gemara is going to do is as follows. So look, here's what we know. We know that there's a discussion right now in the Gemara regarding bread on the Shulchan while traveling in the desert. Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua and Levi are discussing this issue. They are Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. And so here is what we generally have. When the Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael are debating, and we are reading the Talmud Bavli, which means that this is now a report of what the Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael are debating about. So we generally count on two Amoraim who travel and give us a report of what the Amoraim are debating. We have Rav Dimi and we have Ravin. And typically, throughout the Gemara, we see this all the time. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he says, this is how the debate looks like. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael with a slightly modified version of what the debate looks like. And our Gemara is no different. Our Gemara exactly follows this format. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, Amar. B'mesuta d'kulei amalo pligi. Look, if the Shulchan, let me start that again. If the Lechem Apanim is on the Shulchan, we have no debate. When encamped, when traveling, we have no debate. Eliki pligi b'mesulak. The only debate is when the bread is off the table. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Where the bread is off the table. Why am I taking the bread off the table? Huh? Ah. So in other words, presumably, what we're talking about over here, what we're describing over here is the following. Now, Rashi's not super clear about this point, but the Shita Mekubetz actually says that this is what Rashi means. We're describing a scenario where we're told to travel on Shabbos. Now, in of itself, that's interesting. Because if we're told to start traveling on Shabbos, that's really strange. In other words, we're going to be violating a lot of Shabbos laws in order to travel on the Shabbos itself. But for our purposes, though, let's just assume, I know it's difficult, but let's assume that we're going to be traveling on Shabbos. If that's true, so then here's a scenario. But we'll paint a scene. What happened was is that we know the Lechem Apanim is placed on the table on Shabbos. We also know that last week's Lechem Apanim is removed from the table on Shabbos. And that happens, obviously, at the same time. More of that discussed later in this perek. So now, we're describing a scenario where I took the newly baked Lechem Apanim, put it on the Shulchan, took last week's Lechem Apanim, took it off the table, and now, before the Kohanim got to eat it, an announcement was made. Time to move. And so now on Shabbos, now this is the part which is strange, for sure, but now on Shabbos, with the instructions of now moving, so we now have Lechem Apanim, not on the table, not yet consumed, and is it going to be disqualified now through the psul of Yotzei? Simply because we no longer have a Mishkan. That is what the Gemara right now is entertaining. Now at this point, the Shita Mekubetz points out, it's really strange and unusual that this entire discussion is predicated on the fact that we are told to start moving on Shabbos and deconstructing the Mishkan on Shabbos. The Shita Mekubetzis is really unhappy with this proposal, and what he does is he gives a different suggestion of how to read the Gemara. But the way I just presented the Gemara is the way Rashi understands it, as explained by the Shita.
How come this question comes up during the Beit HaMikdash? So when the Kohen take it out on Shabbat to eat it from the Beit HaMikdash?
But they're going to eat it in the Azara. Why? They have an Azara, they're going to eat it in the Azara. It's a mincha. Huh?
It has to be eaten with a different klum. And the klum are not there anymore.
Correct. That's why the Gemara is debating. What the Gemara is suggesting right now is that even while, I understand, but even while the Mishkan is traveling, and even though it's deconstructed, But in other words, it still has a shame ol moed. In fact, we'll see the Gemara in just a moment. The Gemara is going to use pretty much this language. That it still has a shame ol moed even while traveling. In the area, meaning between Degel number 2 and Degel number 3. In other words, where the Levim are traveling and carrying everything. Right. So Ela ki pligi ben
Mesulak. They do that with other
culture? I mean, it's a fair question. I don't know. So ki pligi ben Mesulak. Mandam and nifsal dichsiv kasher yachnu ken yisau. And now the Gemara is going to present. This is Rav Dimi's version of the Machlokas. These are the two sides of the issue. So if you say kasher yachnu ken yisau ma bechani yasa nifsal biyotze afnis yasa nifsal biyotze. Good. It's off the table. It's no longer within the partitions of the Mishkan, simply because they've been taken down. And so therefore they're going to become pasul. And lamandam in nifsal dichsiv and asa o amoeg. And the one who says it does not become disqualified, why doesn't it become disqualified? Because v'nasa o'al moed. And what we're introduced to now is an idea of a traveling o'al moed. Traveling o'al moed is the idea that even though the o'al moed is not configured, it's not that walls are not up, the partitions are not up, it's now, everything is stored because we are traveling, still it has the status of an o'al moed even while traveling. Afal pishenasa o'al moed hu. That is right now the Gemara's presentation of the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rav Shua ben Levi. Virech nami aksiv, and so here we go once again. What's each position going to do with the other pasuk? Virech nami aksiv kasher yachnu ken yisau lidach yisau. Again, as far as the analogy is concerned, I could turn the analogy just simply and flip it over. Ma bechani yasau kilo mafik lei lo mifsau. Af b'niyasi yasau kilo mafik lei lo mifsau. Look, when encamped, as long as we don't take it out of the designed area, out of the assigned area, we are good, even while traveling. As long as it's not taken out of the assigned area. Now, granted, by the way, the assigned area may look a little bit different, but still, there is an assigned area. As long as we don't take it out of that area, we're good. Vidach nami aksiv v'nasau o'moed. So the Gemara says, and what is the other position going to do with the v'nasau o'moed, traveling o'moed? So the Gemara says, "Ha'ula de galam hudasa." Traveling o'al moed is not telling me that there's a status of o'al moed while traveling. Traveling o'al moed just simply tells me where is the o'al moed situated within the formation. Meaning the Torah gives a description of traveling formation. What does it look like? V'nasa o'al moed is just simply telling me that after Degel number 2 and before Degel number 3, v'nasa o'al moed. It's just there to tell me where they're traveling within formation, not to give some sort of halachic status to the o'al moed while traveling. V'idach, and the other position, mimachna levim besoch machanos nafka. He says, I have a pasuk already dedicated to that idea of where the o'al moed is traveling. The Torah says, in the same perek, mimachna levim besoch machanos. So we already know where the o'al moed is situated during formation. The pasuk of Anasa O'al Moed, that's a halachic statement. That tells me that even while traveling, it has the status of the O'al Moed. Good. Where are we right now? In Rav Dimi's understanding of the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yishum and Levi, if the lechem is on the shulchan, no debate. Everyone's in agreement that it does not become pasul through the psul of Yotzei. The shulchan is able to give its protective powers to the lechem that's on it, even while traveling. The only open-ended question, and the one that is open for debate, according to Rav Dimi, is what happens once the bread is off the table and now we're traveling. Is it going to be possible to Yotzei? And the question is, basically, is the O'al Moed still have its status of O'al Moed even while traveling? And that right now is the machlokas according to Rav Dimi. Meisvei. The Gemara challenges. B'shal stilik masos kachim nifsalim b'yotzei. That while traveling, you know what happens to all the karbanos? All karbanos become possible through the psul of Yotzei. You know why? Because there's no longer a Mishkan. Everything's deconstructed. The Mishkan's taken down. So you know where all the Karbanos are right now? Outside of the Ol Moed. It seems really clear from this Braisa that the moment that we break everything down, there now is the psul of Yotzei. And that, of course, would include the Lechem upon him. And that's what's called a problem. Well, it's not a problem, meaning it's a statement, but it's a problem on the position that says that the O'al Moed is an O'al Moed even while traveling. I'm sorry, but let me just first finish the Braisa. V'zavenu Mitzrayim mishtachin, chutz l'mechitza san. You know that Zavenu Mitzrayim still cannot enter that area. Now, those two statements, by the way, are right. Exactly. Those two statements don't work in perfect alignment with one another. Meaning all the karbanos, and now they're outside. Oh, but the zavim and mitzrayim, they can't enter that area. Now, we will, in just a moment, try to deal with those two statements in terms of how they coordinate with one another. But for our purposes right now, what did we just learn together? Very clearly, once the Olmoed is broken down, it's no longer an Olmoed, all the karbanos are posted through Yotzei. How then are you going to describe that the lechem apanim should be okay? How can there be a position that says that the lechem apanim are not disqualified? So my love, afilu lechem apanim, lo mi bar mi lechem apanim. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is, yeah, you know, all the karbanos become posel except for the lechem apanim. To which the Gemara says, that answer doesn't make any sense. Ma nafshach, i'omoed dafka hu afilu kashim nami. I'omoed lav dafka hu afilu lechem apanim nami. Well, what difference should it make? Meaning, if the lechem apanim are not disqualified, neither should all the other karbanos. And if the lechem apanim are disqualified, so to all the others. And how can we make any distinction between the lechem apanim, which is a mincha, and all the other karbanos? Eliki asa ravin. So here we go now with a new presentation of Rav Yeshua ben Levi and Rav Yochanan. And in this new presentation, there are two opinions, but there's no machlokas. And here is where we get to the end. Over here, simply no debate. Look, when traveling, as long as the bread's on the table, not pasul. Once the bread's taken off the table, subject to the psul. It's really simple. And now both positions are, in fact, both lehalacha and both describing just two different scenarios. Amar Abai Shmamina. Now Abai says, it's possible. In other words, you have to destroy it. Yeah, in other words, again, that's where we can go back to the Rashi and give a description of how can I have lechem apanim off the table and on the table. So again, if the instructions were to travel on Shabbos, and I know it's problematic to say that, but as if we started traveling on Shabbos, so that is now how we could have both lechem apanim on the table, meaning the one we baked for this Shabbos, and the lechem apanim that we just removed. So now it's going to be possible.
Didn't know that when they were replacing the lechem apanim, they would slide one in and then they get off.
Good.
So they always had lechem apanim on the table. There was
good. That's fine. But that in other words, the lechem apanim that you took off now, so the old one, last week's lechem apanim, so now while traveling, it's going to become disqualified. Okay.
No, he's given to require him to eat.
So good. So in other words, if the Kohanim ate it, so it's not disqualified. But
that's
if,
in between the time.
Right. But if the instructions came that we have to move, and the old lechem apanim weren't eaten yet, so now the way the Gemara is presenting it, it becomes disqualified. Good. Amar Abaye. What do we got from all this? Abaye has a great deduction. Shmamina Yeshilach Masos Balaila. Do you know that we could start? You know that we travel at night. Abaye says, it has to be that we're traveling at night. So the Gemara says, because consider for just a moment. Let's just imagine for just a moment that the only time that we started traveling was only morning, right? In other words, by the way, he uses the word day, but when he says day, he means break of day, meaning morning. The Gemara says, well, let's consider. Ema madli, so when are we taking down the curtains? So, l'tzafra. In other words, we're going to take it down in the morning because that's when we're going to travel. So the Gemara says, so you know what? Abaye says, if this were the case, it's not. Abaye's going to point out it's not. But just for a moment, imagine that we only traveled in the morning. So then we're talking about a psul of Yotzei. Psul of Yotzei? Why do we even have to have a discussion of psul of Yotzei? If we're talking about Chatas, Asham, Mincha, these are all Kachei Kadashim. Do you know what happens the next day? They all become psul through the psul of Lina. For all these karbanos, you are given one day and one night to eat them, and the next morning they become pasul. So if our instructions were to travel at the beginning of the day, all these karbanos that we're talking about are going to become pasul. Not because of Yotzei, but simply because it's the morning, and they become pasul through the psul of Lina. If we're having a discussion of psul Yotzei, it must mean that we are not limited to just traveling during the day. We also could be starting our travels at night as well. And so this is a biased deduction. Otherwise, the entire discussion becomes a non-applicable discussion. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara says it very succinctly. Good. So Pshita, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Abai's deduction is wonderful, but I also have a pasuk in the Torah. Like, before we need a deduction, why don't we just simply read the Torah? La lechus yom avalayluksiv. The Torah says that we travel day and night. But the Gemara says, no, but the pasuk itself is not enough, because ma'u detem ahani milehecha de'akar miyamama. Yeah, in other words, that Torah, that pasuk is describing when we travel, but doesn't necessarily mean when we begin our travel. Avahecha de'lo'akar biyamama b'layla lamati akre. Kamash malan. If all I had was the pasuk, I would have said, yeah, that we travel during the day and the night. But when does our travels begin? I could have said only the morning. What Abai is now proving is that no, even the beginning of our travel can be done at night. And again, his proof is because if we're talking about only traveling in the morning, this entire discussion of Psul Yotzei becomes a purposeless discussion, a pointless discussion. Because in the morning, you know how all those carbonates become disqualified? Through the Psul of Lina. We don't even need to have this discussion of Yotzei. So by virtue of the fact that we're having this discussion means that we can even be traveling at night.
When did they take off the Lechem Aponim? Yesterday?
Again, the Lechem Aponim is the trickiest part because we know they take it off on Shabbos. So that means that they started the travels on Shabbos.
What's with the other thing? When were you makrav them?
So in other words, the Chatos and Ashram, they're not going to be offered on Shabbos. But for those Karbanos, in other words, for that week.
When? Yesterday? The day before they started moving?
Well, again, if we're talking about Chatos and Ashram, then we don't have to limit ourselves to Shabbos.
Well, I understand so, that. Good. But
Wednesday morning.
When were they makrav this Chatos and this Shabbos?
Good. So that's exactly Abai's point. That's exactly Abai's point. So that they were Nikra of the day before. So then the next day they're...
Why did you not say that they started in the afternoon and they were makrav in the morning?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a good question. I avoided that question by asserting, even though, granted, the Gemara didn't say it, I asserted it. But Tosos speaks to this idea. When the Gemara is entertaining the day, the Gemara is entertaining the beginning of the day, not the middle of the day. In other words, when the Gemara is assuming that they traveled at the very beginning of the day. I know the Gemara doesn't say that beferish, but Batosa says, otherwise this whole discussion, like you just said, otherwise the whole discussion becomes hard to understand.
Did they travel on Shabbat or did they? We don't know.
It sounds like from Rashi they did. It's really hard to entertain that. Again, Shita Mekubetzes points out, it's really hard to entertain that. Right, that's the Gemara's point. That's the Abai's point. So in other words, we don't need the Yotzei discussion. So it must be that they traveled even at night. That's exactly Abai's point. Uriminu. The Gemara now is challenging one on the very bottom, Sadi Hamad Aleph. A challenge. Huglu aparoches, husru azavim, mutzaren likanas l'sham. That once the Mishkan is taken down, and once we're rolling up all the curtains, so now the zavim and mutzaren can enter into that area. Now you notice that in the previous braisa that we quoted earlier, we said that Zav and Mitzrayim are still restricted from that area, and that presents what's called a stira between our first braisa and this braisa. Amar Avash Lokasha HaRebbe Eliezer HaRabbanan. So the Gemara says, yes, it's a stira, it's also machlokas. And the Gemara now quotes a braisa, the Tanya. We're on the very top of Sadihei Amud Beis. Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Yachol Dachu Zav and Mitzrayim V'nich Musul Azar BePesach. Haba b'tuma yachu yuchayav m'tam alamer v'yishachu menamachana kol tzeru v'chol zav v'chol tam l'nefesh. B'shar she t'mei meis m'shachim zav m'tzor m'shachim. Ein t'mei meis m'shachim ein zav m'tzor m'shachim. And I know I read that quickly, but the basic idea is as follows. Some years we can bring the Karban Pesach in a state of tuma. Now, does that mean every time a person can come into the Beis HaMikdash? No. It's only tumas meis. If the majority of the Jewish people are subject to Tumas Meis, so then they can go into the Beis HaMikdash and offer the Karban Pesach in a state of Tuma. But when I say they, I mean only those people who are subject to Tumas Meis. If let's say you have another Tuma, let's say you're a Zav, let's say you're a Mitzora, let's say you're a Nida, you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash and offer Karban Pesach. Other Tamei people are going in? Yeah. Because there's an allowance for Tamei Meis to go in, but not for the other Tamei people to go in. Good. Now, in a year in which Karban Pesach is brought in a state of Tuma, where Tuma's Hotra B'tzibur, let's say you're a Zav and let's say you're a Mitzora. Now, you're not allowed to go in and you're not allowed to bring Karban Pesach, but let's say you went in. Are you going to be subject to Kares? So Rabbi Eliezer of the Braisa says no. You're not going to be subject to karis. Now again, you don't have an allowance, and you're not allowed to go in, and you're not allowed to bring Karm Pesach, you're a Zav, you're a Mitzorah, you're not a Tamei Meis, but still, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not going to be subject to karis. Why not? Because Rabbi Eliezer feels that the Tumas are linked together. The Torah says, and now that's the pasuk that we read, that the fates of these Tumas are all linked together. Now, to be clear about this discussion, because it is a subtle discussion, meaning that doesn't mean that because a Tamei Meis can bring Karban Pesach, so can a Zav and so can a Mitzorah. It just simply means that once there's an allowance for a Tamei Meis person to be in the Azara, so that at that point now there's no Karis penalty for the other Tamei people to be in the Azara. It doesn't mean that they can bring Karban Pesach. It just simply means that the Azara area is no longer a restricted zone for Tamei people. And there's no longer a Karis penalty for all the Tamei people, even though they don't have an allowance to do so. With all that stated, so now the Gemara says, now we can understand the machlokus between the first brisa and the second brisa. Let's start with the second brisa. The second brisa that says that once the Azara comes down, so now Zav and Mitzorim can enter into the area. Why? Because once the Azara is taken down, once the Mishkan is taken down, so now we no longer have an area that's restricted to Tamei Meis. Because there's no longer a Mishkan. And once there's no longer a restricted area for Tamei Meis, so now you could have the Zavah and the Mitzorim enter that area as well. That's the second Brisa. As opposed to the first Brisa, the first Brisa does not necessarily feel that these Tamei people are connected one to another. And even though now the Mishkan is down, and even though there's no longer a restricted area for Tamei Meis, but still Zav and Mitzrayim cannot enter that area. Okay, that is how the Gemara presents it as a machlokas. We start with the Mishnah on Sadi Hamad Beis, and our Mishnah now is going to give us clear instruction of when and where we should be baking our lechem upon him. Now, there really is, before we start with the Mishnah, I'll just say it outside. It's a really basic issue. We know that the Lechem Apanim is going to be put on the Shulchan on Shabbos, replacing last week's Lechem Apanim, which was also put on Shabbos. Okay, and cyclically, this is how it's going to work from week to week. Good.
Does that happen at night or in the morning?
Daytime. Middle of Shabbos day. Right. exactly. Now the Lechem Apanim, it goes on Shabbos. What about the baking of the lechem upon him? Well, the baking of the lechem upon him. So let's think this outside of the Mishnah, and then we'll see it in the Mishnah. So can I bake it on Shabbos? Well, that's Chilul Shabbos. Baking on Shabbos is Chilul Shabbos. So we know that other karbanos can be done on Shabbos. In other words, when there's specific instruction to bring other karbanos on Shabbos, like the karban tamid, for example. So obviously, I can be mechal Shabbos to bring the karban tamid. That's great. But in other words, I can't shech the Karban Tamid yesterday on Friday. In other words, once I shech it on Friday, then Shabbos comes, you know where the Karban is, it's possible. So we have to shech it on Shabbos because we have no choice. Is there an option to bake a lechem upon him on Friday before the Shabbos? And so the answer is going to be, it depends. Well, what does it depend on? When I'm baking the lechem upon him, am I baking in the Kli Sharis or am I not baking in the Kli Sharis? Or really, we can ask the question a little more fundamentally. Is the oven that I'm baking it in, is that a Kli Sharis, yes or no? Well, let's weigh the two options. If the oven that I'm baking in is not a Kli Sharis, so then we're good. I'll bake the lechem upon it before Shabbos. And the bread by tomorrow is going to be subject to Lina? No, it's not. If the oven's not a Kli Sharis, so then the bread right now does not have Kedusha Saguf. When will it be given Kedusha Saguf? When I put it on the table. So that means I could bake it before Shabbos, and then Shabbos comes along, and then we're good. But what if the oven is a Kli Sharis? You see, now I can't bake it before Shabbos. Because if I baked it in an oven that was a Kli Sharis before Shabbos, so now we know what happened Shabbos morning? The bread's going to become disqualified. because the oven is going to imbue that bread with Kedushas HaGuf. And that means to say now that it's one night. Now remember, it hasn't been put on the table yet. So it's one night, it lays overnight one night. That's one night too many. That means that the next morning, Shabbos morning, it's subject to the Psul of Lina. So, really what we have just learned together is that what it boils down to is whether or not the oven is a Kli Sharis or it's not a Kli Sharis. And the truth of the matter is, if we could just go one step further in this discussion, it's not even so much a question of the oven being a Kli Sharis. What about how I measured the flour? I measured the flour, right? It's two Isarins per loaf, so I measured in a measuring cup. Is the measuring cup a Kli Sharis? Now, at this point in time, hopefully our memories are jogged a little bit. And what do we know? That was a machlokas that we saw earlier in terms of whether or not the Midos HaYavish is in fact Kodesh or not Kodesh. Right? That was actually, we didn't learn that long ago. That was the beginning of the 10th Perek. That takes us back to the Pei area in the Masechta. Pei Zion, Pei Ches, etc., etc. Okay, so far so good? That is, I say all this by way of introduction. Let's begin the Mishnah. So it's kneading and it's arranging into loaves that are done outside of the azara, the afiasan vifnim, and the baking of it is done in the azara. Presumably because the baking is done in an oven that's a Kli Sharis, and therefore it's baked in the oven. Ve'eino dochus as a Shabbos, but it's not going to override the Shabbos, meaning we bake it on Friday. Now, at this point in time, I'm hoping that you are so confused by the Mishnah, not wanting you to be confused by the Mishnah, but you should be confused by the Mishnah. If we're baking it in the Azara because the oven is a Kli Sharis, and then the Mishnah says, but it doesn't override the Shabbos. Well, wait one second. It should be overriding the Shabbos because I can't bake it on Friday. If I bake it on Friday in an oven in the Azara, which is a Kli Sharis, so Shabbos morning, it's going to be puzzled with Lina. Okay? And if the question doesn't bother you, it's because I didn't do a good enough job explaining. But
is it puzzled with Lina if it's still in the Kli Sharis? Does it protect it from Lina?
Right. So the Mizbech protects, the Shulchan protects, the Kli Sharis does not protect. Okay. It's a great suggestion, but it does not protect. Rav Yehuda Amar Kol Masein Bifnim, Rav Shimon Amar La'olam, Havaregul Amar She'alechem V'lechem Aponim, K'sheres Bazar, K'sheres Be'beis Pagi. And then the Mishnah presents two extreme viewpoints on this. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says everything's done in the Azara. The measuring, the arranging, the baking, everything's done in the Azara. Rabbi Shimon says, no. La'olam haviragul lamar. You should accustom yourself to say. Now, I know that's very strange, by the way. Like, just say it all the time. Like, you know, and like on a daily basis. Everything is done anywhere in Yerushalayim and not limited to the Azara. Okay. Haguf Akasha. Now, the question that I asked in the beginning of the Mishnah, the Gemara asked the question. Look, in terms of the kneading and the arranging, it's done outside because the measuring cups are not nimshach. They're not sanctified. It's not a Kli Sharis. Okay. And then ve'afiyasan bifnim, and the baking is done in the azar. Amar midas yavish niskacha, which means that the oven is a Kli Sharis. And Amar Rabba, hiksha adam kasha shu kasha kabarzel. A difficult question asked by a difficult person, as strong as iron, among Rosh Hashanah, and that's Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. How could that be? How could we be baking and arranging outside the azara? No, let me say that again. How can we be kneading and arranging outside the Azara and meanwhile baking in the Azara? To which the Gemara says, my Kasha. The Gemara says, I'm not sure if that bothers me so much. Well, you know, the measuring cups, maybe they're not Nimshach. And again, going back to the 10th Perek, that is a valid position, that the measuring cups are not Nimshach, they're not sanctified, they're not Kli Sharis, and maybe the oven is. So the Gemara says, fine. So for that question by itself, it's not a backbreaker. The next question is going to be a backbreaker. Ela ikasha hakasha, v'afiyasam bifnim. You know, we said that we're baking it inside amatana mekadesh, which means that the oven that we're baking in is a Kli Sharis. Vein dochen es haShabbos. But it doesn't override the Shabbos. This is a backbreaking question. If so, labelina. Well, I baked it in an oven on Friday, an oven that's in the Azara, an oven that's a klisharis, and we're going to be baking on Friday. You know what happened Shabbos morning? The bread that I baked in that klisharis oven is now going to be disqualified through lina. So Amar Rava, none of that. Hikshadam kashashu kashagabar zomana rav sheshes. So Rava says, that's a really difficult question. Asked by a difficult person, otherwise known as rav sheshes, I don't have an answer. I'm Rav Ashi, my kushu, doma my bifneim b'makom zrizim. So the Gemara says, well, can you not offer the following suggestion? Maybe when we said bifneim, we meant makom zrizim. We meant not geographically where we're baking it, but who's the type of person who's baking it, otherwise known as kohanim. So the Gemara says, and maybe what we're suggesting is the following. The kneading and the arranging, that's done by non-kohanim. The baking, that's done by kohanim. Where it's done, and whether the oven is a klisharis or not, maybe that's not the point of the entire Mishnah. How did Rav Ashi brusi? But the Gemara says that Rav Ashi's answer is outside of the realm of acceptability. The word berusa, we have this expression throughout Shas, that Rav Ashi's statement, sometimes he gives answers that are not real answers, but they're merely suggestions, but not to be understood as accepted viewpoints. The word berusa literally means bara, outside, meaning this is not an acceptable Brysa. Answer. Right. Yeah, Brysa comes from the same word. Right. Mishnah means the codified Mishnayos, and Brysa means those Tanaitic statements that are outside. Same etymology. Manafshach. I afya beinan zrizim lishavirich anami beinan zrizin. I don't understand. If I need kohanim for baking, you know why? Because we got to make sure that it doesn't turn into chametz. Remember, it's a lechem aponim. Lechem aponim cannot be chametz. Well, you know, the same thing is true regarding the kneading and the arranging. And vi lisha vericha lo beinan zrizin, afya nami lo beinan zrizin. And if for the kneading and the arranging, I don't need kohanim, so then why would I need kohanim for the baking as well? So the Ella de Rav Ashi Barusi, so the Gemara acknowledges that the statement of Rav Ashi is to be right now outside of the camp. So, where do we stand right now in terms of our Mishnah? So our Mishnah says that the kneading and the arranging of the lechem aponim is done outside. The baking is done inside, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. But then the Mishnah says something which is absolutely confounding, and the Gemara does not have a solution to it, which is that then the Mishnah says, and it's not going to override the Shabbos. How can it not override the Shabbos? If the baking is done inside of the Azara, that is left for us to assume that the baking is done in an oven, which is a klisharis, because it's in the Azara, and meanwhile, the Mishnah says, but it doesn't override the Shabbos, it has to override the Shabbos. Because if I'm baking it on Friday, so that means now that it is invested with Kedusha Saguf, and so that means that tomorrow morning, when we wake up, so the bread that we're ready to put on the Shulchan is now disqualified through the Psul of Lina. And Rav Sheshes says that this question is really such a difficult question. The Gemara gives an attempt to answer this question. The Gemara leaves the question unresolved. Okay. We have a little bit more to go in terms of this sugya, but we'll wrap it up tomorrow. David HaMelech eating lechem upon him. Mm-hmm. Right? He's not a Kohen. He's not allowed to do that. And meanwhile, he did. So that's where we start tomorrow morning.